On this episode, the Argos prepare for touchdown Atlantic against Riders, plus our thoughts on the whole Garrett Eagles fiasco, and the greatest CFL fantasy advice I can find on an Argos-related podcast with two guys who are not named Ben and JB. It's the Argos Fancast. Crack those cold ones. You can find us at Argos Fancast or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast. Just search Argos Fancast. I am Clay Chisholm. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the various social media machines. And joining us, as always, our resident historian from ArgoFans.com, the VP of Football Operations, Will Gertler, MBA.
Hi, everybody. You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.argofans.com.
And Doug is not here again tonight. He's on afternoon, so we will not see him this week or next week. But you'll hear from him again in 2 weeks. So let's get right to the meat and potatoes of things. I would rather kind of get the Garrett Marino stuff out of the way first and then let's get into Touchdown Atlantic. Okay. So as all of you probably saw over the weekend or have seen the hit on various social media platforms, SportsCenter highlights, Garrett Marino hit Jeremiah Mazzoli low causing a broken bone or a cracked bone. They call it a bone-related injury, and he's going to be out 10 to 12 weeks. Now, the low hit was is against the rules, and it did appear to a lot of people that he was intending to go low. Well, he got suspended this week. 2 games for that reckless low hit on Ottawa quarterback Jeremiah Mazzoli on play 123, which resulted in serious injury and Marino's ejection from the game and for Marino's subsequent celebration, in which he celebrated as he walked out. Now, he also received 2 more games for additional violations. A 1-game suspension for an illegal and reckless tackle of an Ottawa offensive lineman on a previous play. And a 1-game suspension for verbal comments Marino made about Mazzoli's heritage during the game, which clearly violates the CFL's code of conduct. The league also cited Marino's discipline record after 12 CFL career games, which includes a previous ejection and 2 fines for his manner of play. Now, what was left out in all of this and really hasn't been confirmed other than players who were at the Red Blacks night before the game dinner at the Keg on Dewdney in Regina was that apparently Garrett Marino also showed up at the restaurant and verbally accosted Mazzoli and his teammates as well. I don't think they really looked into that part, but you know, as far as the comments that he made and everything, he's got 4 games, which is now officially the longest suspension handed out in the CFL since Chris Edwards' suspension was reduced from 6 to 3 games. And later today, he officially announced that he will not be appealing the suspensions, nor will the CFLPA be appealing the suspensions on his behalf. He also issued an apology of sorts. And I'll read it verbatim for you. "I have received my discipline from the CFL regarding the game we played on Friday, July 8th, 2022. I will not be appealing the suspension given to me by the CFL, and I have spoken to the Players Association, who will not be appealing on my behalf. I want to apologize for my actions that day, as I understand that they have no place in the game of football. I also apologize to Jeremiah Mazzoli of the Ottawa Red Blacks, as I did not intend to injure him. I have tried over the past few days to connect with him directly and will continue to do so. Regarding the comments I made during the game, I regret that I said them, as I now understand their consequences. This was not my intent when speaking on the field, nor is it ever my intent in my day-to-day life. I know I play a game with an edge, and during the game I made an insensitive and culturally stereotypical remark. I now understand this was hurtful to my peers, and I hope I can be forgiven for my misunderstanding. I take pride in being a good teammate and a valued member of the Saskatchewan Roughriders Football Club. I did not intend for my comments or actions to be hurtful, and I take solace in my teammates knowing that I stand with all of them regardless of race, ethnicity, or sexual orientation. I will not be commenting on this matter again, but will work to better myself as I serve this discipline and prepare to rejoin my teammates on the field."
He didn't write it.
No.
No. Well, Clay, you have a little bit of skin in the game.
Yeah.
Do you want to rant on this first?
You know what? I will let you say your piece. Yeah. And I'm going to collect my thoughts as you say that. Hopefully I'm not as angry with all of this by the time you finish, but we'll see.
Okay. So, you know, they're really two separate issues at play here. You know, the hit itself and then the comments made by Marino during the game and what happened the previous night at the Keg. You know, one might say that, you know, as Argo fans, we don't really have any skin in the game, but, you know, that's actually untrue because, number one, you know, we don't like to see long-term injuries to CFL star players as it waters down or you know, cheapens the quality of play in our league. And number two, you know, we don't want a player in the league who makes comments such as this. You know, we want a league that's seen to be promoting diversity and tolerance. And you know, I have to agree with some of the people on you know, it would have almost been better had the CFL not broken down the suspension like the way that they did, because people rightly questioned, you're only giving them one game for, you know, racial comments. Which, you know, I would have to agree with. You know, Garrett Marino has a history of these type of hits, and you know, which is a repeat offender led to a suspension. But, you know, there's something that this whole the racist comment thing is something that's, you know, something that's kind of new or something that's just coming to light after the hit. You know, and I get as Argo fans, we're not going to have the same emotions as Rider fans or Red Black fans on it. But, you know, I would certainly hope that if the Argos had a player who did something as stupid as what Marino did, that we would have the we would be prepared to condemn it unequivocally. And, you know, not go ahead and point fingers. You know, what about, you know, the Ottawa player who got into it with Pete Robertson before? Or, you know, what about Simone? You know, there's a lot of people in this who come out looking bad. Craig Dickinson certainly made some stupid comments the other day. The writer play-by-play guy, Michael Ball, made some stupid comments on Twitter. And, you know, and it won't lump, you know, some, you know, like from the Piffles podcast, Steve, you know, condemned this, the, you know, the hit unequivocally, but, you know, there's a certain part of, you almost want to throw a flag at a certain part of Rider Nation who seem to blindly support their guy.
Yeah, and that's one problem that I have here is that some of these players or some of these fans are just, you know, okay, well, it's all well and good. He said his PEP, good for him, good for him. Now, what about the other hit?
Yeah.
Now, what about this? Now, what about that? Well, I mean,
you don't want this crap in our league.
No. And I've gone on record before, and even on our last show.
Yeah.
Chris Edwards, well, he is a fantastic player. I love watching him on the field. The crap that he pulled last year, I still think he should be gone from this league. With what Garrett Marino has done, and this is his, well, technically now second and third suspension for a low hit, because he did get two reckless hits here. And the other one happened to be on Mazzoli as well. You know, as somebody like this, who is pulling this crap, and then celebrating it, and then you're hearing the additional things from him after the fact that, you know, he was hurling racial slurs towards Jeremiah Mazzoli. And that, you know, from the words of Nate Behar, he verbally accosted them at the keg the night before. Now, if any of this was not your intent, Garrett Marino, you would have not gotten into your car and drove to the keg. This apology to me is absolute bullshit. Well, I get that you may not fully understand the consequences of what you said. The fact that you may not means you're an ignorant moron to what's going on in the world around you. At no time would I have ever supported the things that he said. At no times do I support the type of play. The first time he low-blowed Jeremiah Mazzoli when he was playing for the Ticats, I believe Marino should have been gone from there. It was his second or third game or something like that. And at that point, that is a... I'm cutting that player right away. You know, well, you said it, right after I read that apology, and I'm doing air quotes here, people, because this is not an apology. This is something written by the PR staff for Garrett Marino to put his name on.
Nearly a week later.
And after Jeremiah Mazzoli made his comment on there that he has not heard from anybody, from them, from anybody from the writer organization, period. I don't believe Garrett Marino has a place in this league. There are some things that once, you know, okay, fine. Twice, okay, and I'm talking about the hits. At a certain point, you're a professional and you need to conduct yourself as such. And I've talked at length about my standard that I have for professionalism. Go back and listen to the last show where I was the last show or the week before where I talked about a 14-year-old minor player having more professionalism than somebody who's been playing this game since they were 6 years old and are now getting paid to do this for a living. And if a 14-year-old can have more professionalism than a 20-something-year-old professional football player in everything he did, you have no place in the game of football. You know, I said it before, I'll say it again. The things you said, well, I can understand there are segments of the population, especially when you're a star athlete, that get shielded from a lot of this stuff and or may not have ever seen the consequences from stuff you said. If that is the actual case, you're an ignorant moron. And from what I heard, the other hit that he got called for, the Dino Boyd one, was a retaliation. And once again, we all know where I stand on retaliation. You hurt them on the scoreboard. That's how you get back at them. You want to hit somebody low, you want to hit somebody from behind, get the fuck out of my league.
And he may yet. As the situation evolves, he may yet be gone.
Yep.
I don't know.
I can't stand this kind of stuff. Like, you know, and then to end this off, I will not be commenting on this matter again. It's...
You're speechless.
Yeah.
You're without speech.
I've seen some replies to that believe, and I believe it was Farhan Lauji that said he should own this and they should have immediate availability for this to deal with this.
He won't.
No. Matthew Schinetti tweeted out about 3 hours ago. I have a lot of respect and admiration for the Riders, their players, and their fans. But if Garrett Marino didn't have a problem playing to the crowd and then acknowledging it was in poor taste, then he should be saying all of this in front of a camera. Accountability. That's it. You know, if you're going to make a statement like that, you have to be willing to be questioned on it. I think that's all part of it. But honestly, I would have been much happier had he got the Jacob Ruby treatment.
Who's gonna ask him the questions? Ballsy?
No. You know, Jacob Ruby brought COVID into the Eskimos locker room and got blackballed for a full season. Well, you know, it's, you know, apples and oranges here. I feel this warrants that kind of response. I really do. Now, moving on to Touchdown Atlantic.
Yep. We need to win.
Yes, that we do.
For sanity. You know, it's going to be a tough game. The Rough Riders have played very well. They will be without, you know, they do have quite a bit of an injury list this week. But, you know, I think we know what the Argos need to do. They need to, and as simplistic as this sounds, it's play the same way they did in that second half against Winnipeg.
Yeah.
You know, get that up-tempo offense going. Get Andrew Harris involved. And, you know, get Cody Fajardo rattled. But the defense does have, I mean, they do have to finish, you know. We did see a lot of guys. We did see, you know, Calero scrambling a lot in the pocket, but he always, you know, managed to get the ball off. You know, Fajardo's not that, he's kind of a same quarterback in that sense. So that defensive line's also got to finish.
Yeah, they need to get home on Cody Fajardo where they couldn't with Zach Kolaros. And, you know, I going back to that, I don't think that any of us gave enough credit to the way Zach Kolaros is playing. He is playing probably some of the best football of his entire life. And that escapability is played into that. Now you say Cody Fajardo is essentially the same. He's the same mold. His arm strength is not, and his accuracy is not what Kolaros is. That was a bad choice of words. That ran together really badly. But you need to finish. You need to finish the pressures, you know. You need to get these sacks. I think we got one sack on Kolaros. I need to see at least three from this Argos defense to really make some kind of a statement that they need to make.
You know, the Tie Cats are 0-4. The Red Blacks are 0-4. But one of them's going to be getting a win this weekend because they're playing each other. Oh, the game is on Saturday. Anyways. But, yeah, we know that one of those teams is going to be getting a win. Montreal has Edmonton at home tomorrow, so they're, you know, they could be adding a second win. They got to start putting up or shutting up.
Yeah. And whatever they did in that second half against Winnipeg on July 4th, that's the team that we need to see.
Yep.
That team was good. That team was very good. You know, I think the one of the things that you mentioned, you know, they need to get that up-tempo offense working. I think that played a little bit into law firm's hands. You know, it gave him, you know, less decisions to make. And it sped things up, but slowed things down for him a little bit. Right. Where when you're playing the tempo, that ball needs to be moving quickly. You're not holding on to that ball. So your options are a little bit more limited. And I think that worked out very well for him in that game. We definitely saw a much better McLeod Bethel Thompson in the second half of that game. And whatever our defensive secondary did to clamp things down, they need to keep doing. Don't change a thing. They played fantastic. And I think that that's what they need to do to beat Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
That first half team, not going to beat Saskatchewan.
Nope.
But the one thing that Saskatchewan does have that Winnipeg did not is a very well-established running game right now.
Yes.
So that's where we're going to have to see we're going to have to hear the names Enoch Mwamba, Winton McManus, Chris Edwards a lot in this game.
We don't really know. I mean, the Argos haven't really been trying to run too much on the Argos.
No, I mean, the teams that we've played, you know, outside of Montreal, haven't been known for their running game.
No.
And William Stanback got hurt. So, you know, BC, you know, they're starting to, but they've got a ridiculous aerial attack. You know, and then Winnipeg, they've got probably the most dialed in quarterback in the CFL right now. So they didn't run much against Toronto. So, but I think part of it is, I mean, if we're hearing the names Enoch Mwamba, Winton McManus, and Chris Edwards a lot, that means that our linebackers are the ones making the tackles, and that's usually a good sign in the running game. When you're defending the running game, you want to hear those linebackers' names because those are the guys that are usually making the plays. Just a quick look at the injury report we have. Yeah, you mentioned Saskatchewan has a whole list of injuries. Going down them, it looks like Jake Hardy hasn't practiced all week with a shoulder. Amari Henderson, a DB, hasn't practiced all week. He's sick. Linebacker Gary Johnson, he's a backup, has been limited with a shoulder. Keenan LaFrance hasn't practiced with the knee issue. And he's also been sick. Roland Milligan, who played outstanding in that last game, was limited in the first day of practice and did not practice with a groin injury in the second day of practice. Kyron Moore has been limited. Mitchell Picton is not going to, I don't think he's playing. Pete Robertson hasn't played, and he's likely out with a foot injury. Josiah St. John, a backup on their offensive line, has been limited. James Tuck, their fullback, hasn't practiced. And A.C. Leonard hasn't practiced with a shoulder issue. That looks like it happened in the first day of practice this week. And Kosi Onyeka went down with a knee injury as a DB for them. Like, that's a good, healthy list of people who were hurt and likely, a lot of them likely not playing. Now you go to Toronto's injury report.
That's not jinx it.
You know, I think the one thing we have on this that I am very thankful to see is Isaiah Cage has been a full participant for the second week in a row and will be making his season debut for the Argos in Wolfville. If something doesn't change in practice this week, he is going to be the starting left tackle, I believe.
I guess Dejon Allen goes over to right tackle.
Or right. He's playing where Tate played. I can't remember which one they are. But I am so glad to see that. So, with predictions for this game?
Well, you know, I don't pick the Riders.
No, and I'm not picking the Riders in this one either. I'm picking Toronto. But like all Touchdown Atlantic games, it's going to be close. I think Toronto wins it on a last-second field goal.
Third time's a charm to win Touchdown Atlantic.
All right, and since we're already over here, we might as well get to the rest of our predictions for the week. We've already talked about the Toronto and Saskatchewan. Actually, before we get to the predictions, we do have a couple other little news and notes from around the league to talk about. The Argos released Boateng today. Go over to the X's and Argos, and they've got a pretty good synopsis on why they don't believe this was a surprise move at all. He just seemed like he was the odd man out with the hash marks narrowing, making the short side corner that a lot of teams used to love to put a Canadian in. Somewhat going the way of the dodo.
Evidently, they see something in Tiggy Sanko, so.
Yep. And then, well, Edmonton's still making moves. They traded Nick Arbuckle to Ottawa.
Well, Ottawa needed a quarterback.
Yep. And then they went and signed, and then, you know, so Nick Arbuckle's in back in Ottawa, where he did really, he didn't play it down for them when he was there last year, but
nope.
Now he'll get his
probably
shot.
Probably will.
But I mean, his tenure in Edmonton just, much like his tenure in Toronto, just did something, it didn't work.
Poor guy for his family, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish him the best in Ottawa. Hopefully Lapolice can be the guy to make it work with him. Just not against the Argos.
I don't think so.
I wish him well. And now we can get to our predictions. I don't think there was anything else earth-shattering that came out. So Thursday night, Montreal is in Ottawa.
No. They are not. Edmonton is going to Montreal.
What? Oh, I'm on the wrong week. I'm an idiot. Okay. Edmonton is in Montreal. Oh, and this just Montreal's going to win this one.
Probably.
Montreal's got two quarterbacks. Edmonton, we've no idea what they have.
And Tyler Cornelius and something else.
Yeah. I don't know if I think they still have that kid Loxley.
That's the one.
Yeah, they love his speed, and apparently he's got a rocket for an arm. But he's also banged up. Yeah. And then Friday night we've got Calgary in Winnipeg.
Winnipeg.
I can't not pick Winnipeg in this one. You know, Calgary looked better, but they also played Edmonton, so they probably feel better going into this game. But same thing happened for BC, and they got the shit kicked out of them. We've got we already talked about Saskatchewan and Toronto in Wolfville. And then Saturday, on the other side of the doubleheader, we've got Ottawa in Hamilton.
Ticats go 0-5.
Somehow Ottawa figures it out. Yes, I'll go with that. Ticats go 0-5. Now, as far as fantasy goes, your favorite segment every week.
We thought we won last week until we found out we weren't playing who we thought we were playing.
Yeah.
And our team finished third, I think, in points that week, and we still.
Yeah. We lost to the guy who finished second in our weekly pool.
Yeah.
Well, this week, I've I think we have to keep riding Malik Henry. He's only $6,400 as a wide receiver. He's red hot right now.
Yeah, and Winnipeg is prone to giving up big play occasionally.
Yep. McLeod Bethel Thompson against Saskatchewan, I'm not too sold on.
I don't trust them with the interceptions.
No, and I'm not sure. You know, the automatic go-to would be whoever's playing Edmonton. And
I don't know, but I don't trust Trevor Harris.
Yeah. And who knows what they're going to play there. So yeah, by default, and somehow Zach Collaros is still cheaper than Trevor Harris. So we'll put him in right now. I really want to run with Andrew Harris, but he just might be too expensive. Now we got to put an Argo in here. Markeith Ambles, DeVaris Daniels, or Curly Gittens Jr. Markeith Ambles is probably the cheapest one of them all.
Yeah, he is. Yep.
But not by much. I mean, we're only talking like $400.
Yeah, they're like $5,000-$6,000 range.
I think Curly Gittens Jr. is probably the right play.
And with the Argos, the thing is, they only, three receiving touchdowns so far in three games? So that's the problem. I mean, the problem I find with fantasy is the guys I'm picking aren't necessarily having bad games, like reception and yards wise, but
they're not scoring the touchdowns, which bring home the big
touchdowns
points
to get you that six, you know, extra 6 points.
Yep.
It makes a difference.
Running back, I'm kind of inclined to jump on William Powell. Like at $9,300, I don't think we'll be filling out our $9,300 for Andrew Harris. I don't think he's quite affordable enough yet, unless, you know, we're pulling out a guy out of nowhere like Schoen again, who went off for 31 points with Winnipeg. And I think only one person at the CFL made mention that he would be a good pick there. So, yeah, I'm kind of leaning to put Powell in there. We'll figure out the other running back and a flex spot after that. We've got $9,200 left for two spots. I put Toronto as our defense just because of $3,200.
I put Montreal.
Is Montreal $3,200 as well?
Yep.
Oh, they are. And they're playing Edmonton. So anybody who's playing Edmonton tends to do well. So we'll keep that. Got our flex, and we got a running back spot open. We'll figure that out as time rolls on. Yeah, geez, we'd have to go dirt cheap on our receivers. If like we can't even put Andrew Harris in right now. He's $9,300. We only have $9,200 left. All right, that's what we're going to go with, and we'll see what the rest of the week brings. And now would normally be the time where we would go to the 3-minute warning. But it's been a very serious week.
Mm.
Even so much so that, you know, our friend Anton from Kazakhstan hasn't tweeted once since the Argo game on July 4th.
Mm.
And we know we've got issues with the pork rankings, so those are out. This is where Doug needs to be here. He's the one who finds all the good stuff. So I think
he's making trucks.
Yeah. So I, as much as I would love to end on a, you know, ridiculous note like we always do, I think you just got to be happy with our, you know, world-beating fantasy advice.
Mm.
And end it from there. Will, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.argofans.com.
And you can find Doug, who should be here. Forget work. You don't need a paycheck. You need to be here doing the legal procedure. You can find him at DougB519 on Twitter. And you can find his group, the Double Blue Order. Just search the socials for Double Blue Order and you'll find them. They're on all of them. I am Clay Chisholm. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the various social media machines. You can find the Argos Fancast at Argos Fancast, or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast, just search Argos Fancast, or go directly to theargosfancast.podbean.com. That does it for the Argos Fancast this week. We wish our friends a very safe trip to the East Coast and enjoy some lobster rolls. Cheers, everyone.
What a lobster club. Yeah, it's bacon.